Good afternoon, everyone. I thought I'd do something different today. I was going to read the book of Hosea, first in the Old King James, and then the New King James, and then the complete Jewish Bible. Only kidding. I just saw Warren's heart come right out of his chest, and whatever time that I would have left for him wouldn't have been good. Today, I'd like to talk about a small six-letter word that is one of the most powerful and important words we use hundreds of times a day. You are using it as I speak. You used it prior to coming here this morning, this afternoon, and you will use it many times after you leave. God and His Son, Jesus Christ, used it multiple times in the inspired word. This word is so important that we would not be here today if this word was not used at least twice. To challenge all of us, I'd like to have you think about how many times you use this word and how you use it. The word is choice, C-H-O-I-C-E. Let's first look at how this word was used in one of the most powerful circumstances. God used it when He called us. We didn't deserve it. No amount of money could buy it. And only by God's grace that He made the choice to call us, because He could have called somebody else. We can see that from the time we open our eyes in the morning till we close them at night, that we will make hundreds of choices. Every thought, every motion, everything we do requires us to make a choice. We will make some good ones, and we will make some bad ones. The one thing that we have that gives us great examples is the inspired word. And I'm going to paraphrase a lot of them, because I want to hit them quickly. For example, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob made many choices, and their choice, their great choice, was to follow God. Jacob made the choice to send his son into Egypt when Joseph asked for him. And these were choices that were made for good and some for bad. For example, Moses. God called him to go into Egypt to bring His people out. And right off the very first thing, Moses was a hard-headed Israelite and said he made every choice and opportunity not to go. He didn't want to go. And then when he was in Egypt and he started talking to Pharaoh, he saw the choices that he had to make and how good they were. Let's talk about Ruth. Ruth made the choice of going back with her mother-in-law. And that choice brought her to the marriage of Boaz, which fell into the lineage of Christ. Wow, what a choice. How about Esther? Esther fasted for her people so she could go in to see the king. And if he didn't accept her, she would die. Choices, choices, choices. The one I like is Hosea. For some of you bachelors, you might think about this one. In the NIV, God says, Hosea, go out and marry a whoredom, or a wife of a whoredom. In the Old Testament, that was the Old Testament. Getting confused here. In the NIV, Hosea said, go out and marry an adulteress. In the complete Jewish Bible, he said, Hosea, go out and marry a whore. Now, Hosea could have said, God, what are you asking me to do? I don't want to marry a prostitute. I want to marry a virgin. But it doesn't give any explanation in here Hosea made the choice, he went out and he did it. And I ask you to read Hosea in the near future and see the reasons why, because there was a reason why God had him do this. And then Peter made the choice as a disciple to deny Christ 3 times. How about Christ? I have to laugh sometimes when I think about how Christ toyed with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he gave them all of these things to think about and why they were in sin, and it seems like they couldn't see the light for the darkness. And they ended up finding a way to kill him. So you see, we can learn and make good and positive choices from these examples. I'd like to give you some personal choices. On August the 5th, I was terminated from my job. Now, most of you know that I went 5 years with in-and-out work and struggled. And then I finally got a job that I thought would be the end for me. I loved it. And because of a downsizing, I was terminated. Now, I could blame God, and for what? Because he wasn't responsible for the downsizing. It probably was bad management. And I could crawl into a hole and feel sorry for myself, but that would have been the wrong choice. And so I chose to move on. The first Monday after I was laid off, I went to WorkSource. Now, WorkSource, they don't call it unemployment anymore, it's WorkSource. And so I went in and signed up, and the lady said, hey, we got a 3-hour orientation meeting, you need to go right now. And I thought, how boring. And then I thought, hey, you know, maybe I can make a choice and say, what's good in this meeting? What's it going to do for me? And I was looking after myself, is what can I gain? And I went into this meeting, and I can't believe how much information I got that would help me to find a job. This lady told us about what the greatest product in this state is to bring in the money. And I raised my hand, yes, Boeing, yes, Microsoft. You know what it isn't? It's agriculture. Wheat. I'm going to give you the 10 of them real quick. Wheat, hops, mint, asparagus, cherries, potatoes, sugar beets, and then wood products, and then fishing. I mean, that's a fantastic help for us. If you ever go into one of these meetings where there's a whole room full of people that are unemployed, I mean, there is dejection, rejection, depression. Everybody feels like they're in the soup. And then they told me about another meeting that was called the G&P. It was P&G, Professional Networking Group. And I went to that meeting on the following Monday, and the same thing, except that these people were in there looking to network, looking to work with each other and find work. And then we always had a special speaker that gave you examples of telephone calls, et cetera, et cetera. And there's so much out there for the unemployed to go and get. And I went there to get. And during the meeting, they asked if anybody had anything to say. And I raised my hand and I said, yes. I said, a lot of these people are here and we're all looking for work and we're all down. I'd like to give you an example. And I said, in 5 years ago, I was making 6-figure money at Boeing. I was laid off. I couldn't find work for 11 months. And my first job was as a busboy at Boeing, serving the engineers that I used to work for. I think there was 7 to 8 people that came up to me afterwards and said, thank you, because that helped them. So instead of getting, I was able to give. What I'd like to leave with you is the fact that we must make choices. If we do nothing, we get nothing. I give God all the credit as he teaches us through some of the hardships we encounter. We can make them positive choices and move on. I chose to move on. And God is blessing my wife and I for learning these things. I forgot to tell you one thing. I've got to stop and go back because I got tied up. I have a job. And I actually have two jobs. I got a job in Bothell for an engineering firm to work part-time and even work at home. And I got a call on Thursday that my paperwork has been put in to go back to Boeing as a contractor. So God is blessing. Does this mean that I'm doing everything right? Absolutely not. But as I encounter hardships, I see myself making better choices from the lessons that I have learned. I'd like to read you a story about a man who has always made positive choices. John is the kind of guy you love to hate. He is always in a good mood and always has something positive to say. When someone would ask him how he was doing, he would reply, "If I were any better, I would be twins." He was a natural motivator. If an employee was having a bad day, John was there telling the employee how to look on the positive side of the situation. Seeing this style really made me curious. So one day I went up and asked him, "I don't get it. You can't be a positive person all of the time. How do you do it?" He replied, "Each morning I wake up and I say to myself, you have two choices today. You can choose to be in a good mood or you can choose to be in a bad mood. I choose to be in a good mood. Each time something bad happens, I can choose to be a victim or I can choose to learn from it. I choose to learn from it. Each time someone comes to me complaining, I can choose to accept their complaining or I can point out the positive side of life. I choose the positive side of life." "Yeah, right. It's not that easy," I protested. "Yes, it is," he said. "Life is all about choices. When you cut away all the junk, every situation is a choice. You choose how you react to situations. You choose how you affect people and the moods of them. You choose to be in a good mood or a bad mood. The bottom line, it's your choice, how you live your life." I reflected on what he said, and soon afterward, I left the place that I worked and I lost touch with him. And I made a choice about life instead of reacting to it. Several years later, I heard that he was involved in a serious accident, falling some 60 feet from a communications tower. After 18 hours of surgery and weeks of intensive care, he was released from the hospital with rods placed in his back. I saw him about 6 months after the accident. When I asked him how he was, he replied, "If I were any better, I'd be twins. Do you want to see my scars?" I declined to see his wounds, but I did ask him what had gone through his mind as the accident took place. The first thing that went through my mind was the well-being of my soon-to-be-born daughter, he replied. Then as I lay on the ground, I remembered that I had two choices. I could choose to live, or I could choose to die. And I chose to live. "Weren't you scared? Did you lose consciousness?" I asked. He continued, "The paramedics were great. They kept telling me I was going to be fine, but when they wheeled me into ER and I saw the expressions on the faces of the doctors and nurses, I really got scared. In their eyes, I read, 'He's a dead man.' I needed to take action." "What did you do?" I asked. "Well, there was a big burly nurse shouting questions at me," said John. "She asked if I was allergic to anything." "Yes," I replied. And the doctors and nurses stopped working as they waited for my reply. I took a deep breath and yelled, "Gravity." Over their laughter, I told them, "I am choosing to live. Operate on me as if I am alive, not dead." He lived thanks to the skill of his doctors, but also because of his amazing attitude. I learned from him that every day we have the choice to live fully. Attitude, after all, is everything. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. In closing, let's remember that tomorrow, when we get up, we'll have to make choices. The first one is to wake up with a good mood. When someone asks you how you're doing, respond with, "If I were any better, I'd be twins." As John says, life is about choices. We will make good ones and hopefully less bad ones. By using the examples from the inspired word and some of John's positive choices, we can change the moods of others around us and make life much more interesting. Brethren, the choice is ours.